Okay. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiya Bidvaroi.
Will you be recording the shiur this week like last week too?
I'm sorry?
Are you recording the shiur this week like
last
week?
Yes.
A lot of people heard that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. We are learning about the Siddur. Bianchi has encouraged me to learn with you about the Siddur. Yesterday we spent time discussing the general discussion of what is the purpose of a Siddur. Siddur means an arrangement. And we learned about the Moda'ani. Let's discuss today for a moment the next pasuk, that's the next item that is mentioned in the Siddur, that is printed in the Siddur. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem Seichel Tov L'chol L'Seyem. Question is, what is this pasuk doing here? We have here a collection of pesukim, and it's interesting that in each Siddur, here we already have a lack of consistency in regard to what it is printed in the Siddur. And in our Siddur, we have almost all of this Siddur, and we at least have this one pasuk of Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem Seichel Tov L'chol L'Seyem. Now this pasuk is quoted by the Gemara. The Gemara mentions that when a child reaches the age where he understands of chinuch, you are supposed to teach him two things. You're supposed to teach him the Baruch, the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and you're supposed to teach him the pasuk of Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem Seichel Tov L'chol L'Seyem Tilasa Medes Lohad. And Chazal explain that the pasuk of Reishis Chochma, to a degree, is a synopsis of Torah. In other words, Shema Yisrael is a pasuk that refers to Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, which is one concept, and Reishis Chochma is a pasuk that represents Torah. And the example to this is, the Gemara relates a person, an Amora, who wrote in one day 400 Sifrei Torah. And the Gemara says, impossible. And the Gemara says, maybe what you mean to say is he wrote the pasuk Reishis Chochma 400 times. And the Gemara says, correct. And now we learn that the pasuk of Reishis Chochma, this one pasuk of Chochma, is captured Kol HaTorah Kula. It's a very fascinating concept in and of itself to say that it's possible to take one pasuk and one pasuk can summarize the whole Torah. At Kedei Kach, the Gemara says, if a person writes the pasuk Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, it is as if he has written the entire Torah. So we have to discuss, what is it about this pasuk that captures the essence of the Torah? And not now, but generally, the pasuk brings together many concepts. The concept of Yiras Shamayim, the principle of Chochma, and the principle of Asiya, of Gadol Limud Shemevi Lidei Maisa, and also captures the theme of praise, an expression of an acknowledgement that through the doing of learning Torah, a person comes to a state of giving praise to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Look at the Sima Shas. The Sima Shas, it awakened the Umay Sa'olam, who witnessed it firsthand, to an enormous, enormous degree of tehillah. Umika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Baretz. The reports are still flooding. Any non-Jew that was present and saw such an event is overwhelmed by the product of, look what Torah could produce. Look what Torah could produce, such a product, such a Kiddush Hashem. This pasuk captures all of those ideas. Reishis Chochma. Torah is just the beginning of Chochma. What is Torah? Torah is Mali Chochma. Yiras Hashem. The tafkid of Torah is Yiras Shamayim. The goal is, it brings a person's seichel tov l'chol oiseihem. Torah is not just a book of theory. It's a book that we have to apply. There are tayag mitzvahs. There are lessons. And through the Torah, there is a tehillah that is a medes lo'ad. So there are four elements. Chochmah, Yirat Shamayim. It is a book that is practical, asiya, and it produces shevach v'hoida in this world. So it's not for nothing that Chazal say that this pasuk, Reishis Chochmah, is a synopsis of kol ha-Torah kula. And when a child reaches the age when he's eligible to understand, to comprehend Torah, a father you have an obligation of chinuch. And the synopsis of kol ha-Torah kula can be found here in this one pasuk. So we have here Torah, and later, obviously, the main chunk, the bulk of tefillah is Kriya Shema, which is a different concept, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, which is packaged in the Birchos Kriya Shema, which pretty much is the major chunk of tefillah leading into davening. Now the question is, here's a very big dilemma. I never had clarity in this. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what you here in the room do. Are you mechuyev to say this pasuk? I'm just curious. By a raise of hands, who says this pasuk every single day? Okay, only three people. I say it. Okay, I only hear two. Reishis Chochmah Yiras Hashem. You say it every single day. Open up the Siddur. It's in the Siddur, right? It's in the Siddur. Reishis Chochmah Yiras Hashem. Seichel v'chalaseim. It's here. Do we say it? Okay, so over here in the art scroll, it says you should say it. That doesn't mean necessarily what it says over here in the art scroll. It says a person should wash his hands. It's getting very hard for me to talk. V'tzach lifshayt kapav k'di l'kabel ha-tahara k'mi shreitzel l'kabel dov. I'm reading the instructions over here in the art scroll. I don't know who wrote these instructions. V'yinagvehem k'neged v'yagvehem k'neged ha-roish. The achar kach yoimar, a person should say these psukim. Here in the article, gives instructions that an adult should say this pasuk. Now, is that according to all opinions? Where exactly do these instructions come from? I'm not sure. Maybe it's in Mishneh Berurah. I'm not sure. But it seems from the earlier sources that the primary intent is not that the parent should say it, it's that the child should say it. The child who's been taught Torah should be taught this pasuk. So the question, if that's really the case, why then is the pasuk here? I think this goes back to the idea we mentioned last week, is that the Siddur is not just a book that you say every single day. The words, because we, as we mentioned last week, 95% of the Siddur we never say. Yet it is a comfort that it's present. The joke we gave last week is Kriya Shema. You don't need it to write in there. You're supposed to cover your eyes. Why do we need to the words for them to be written? I believe there's a lesson here to a parent. It's a rude reminder. Not a polite reminder, and that is when you wake up in the morning and you open up your sitter, don't forget you have a job today. And the job is not to make money, it's not to work for Klal Yisrael, it's not to make a Kiddush Hashem. The first job you have when you wake up in the morning is Chinuch Chabonim. And it doesn't matter if your child is 3 years old. He's 1 year old. He's 50 years old. Chinuch Habonim never ends. Chazal say, when your child is old enough to learn, these are the words of the Gemara, when he's old enough to learn, to understand, you should teach him the Pasuk, Reishis Chochmah Yiras Hashem Seichel Tov L'Chol Oseihem. This is what you're supposed to teach him. Or I know, I'm that's not correct what I said. The primary pasuk really is Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Marashat Lezakov. I made a mistake. The Gemara says the pasuk that you are supposed to teach is the next pasuk. The third pasuk that appears in the article Siddur, and that appears, I think, in all of the Siddurim. Not every pasuk has, not every Siddur has all the psukim, but every single Siddur has the pasuk of Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Marashat. So I got confused. That's the primary pasuk I wanted to focus on that appears here in this Siddur. And it says in the Feirush in the Gemara that when you have a child and he's old enough to understand, you should teach him this pasuk. And the, sorry, the Gemara that says that the Tana, when Amoyer wrote 400 Sifri Torah in one day, he wrote the pasuk Torah, Tziva, Lanu, Moshe, Marasha, Kilas, Yaakov. That was the pasuk he wrote 400 times. And that is the synopsis of Kol Torah Kula. The Reishis Chochmah is also a synopsis, as we mentioned. But what is the Musa Haskel? Do we say this pasuk? Some do, some do not. The Gemara does not seem to indicate that you have any obligation to say this pasuk. The only obligation a parent has is to teach this pasuk to his child when the child is old enough to understand. The Siddur, the arrangement, it's the arrangement of not just the davening, it's the arrangement of life. First thing you see on the page when you wake up in the morning is your first obligation is to your children. And what is your obligation? It's not to support them, it's not to give them mussar, it's not to discuss politics, it's to teach them Torah. And the way our Siddur is arranged, it's here, whether we say it or not. If we say it, we're looking at ourselves as children. If we do not say it, it is a reminder, this is your duty. And don't forget what your duty is, what your priorities are in life, and it's here as a rude awakening not to forget the Ikarim of life. Okay, let's go to another idea. In our Siddur, we have arranged tzitzis and tefillin. We will discuss that a little later. Not the old Siddurim, not all the old Siddurim was it arranged in this order. In many Siddurim, the first thing that comes after is either Matoivu Adon Olam Yigdal or the brach of Netilas Yodayim. Okay, many people, especially Sfardim, it is their custom to recite Netilas Yodayim immediately at home after you wash your hands, and then the Seashen Yotzar, and then the Seilukai Neshama. Ashkenazim generally wait. They delay. They do not say Netilas Yodayim Asher Yotzar until they come to the Beis HaKnesses. But even in the Beis HaKnesses, they say it before they put on talis and tefillin. So it is interesting, I did not study this, why the art school Siddur that I'm looking at put tzitzis and tefillin before Matoivu, Adon Olam Yigdal, and before Birchus, and before the Birchus HaShachar. There is, I have no doubt in my mind that they struggled with this issue of how to arrange the brachos. Every single detail is subject to an enormous amount of discussion, because after all, the literal translation of the word Siddur is to arrange. Siddur. Pesach night, you don't eat koirech before you say manishtana. You don't have tzofain before you have yachatz. The Lel Seder is a very precise order. The Siddur is called a Siddur milashin Seder. Everything has an order for a reason. And everything is subject to discussion why the order. But many of the poskim, when they describe the order of davening, the first thing is Netilas Yodayim and Asher Yotzar. And the and that is very important because that means, and it's generally true for most of us, even those who, even if we come to shul, we first say Tehillas Yadayim Asher Yatzi before we put on tefillin, pens, but that would mean the very first bracha you make in the day is the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim. And we know, we are familiar, Simanei Milsa, Leil Rosh Hashanah, we're obsessed with Simanim. Because whatever you do at night, this night, is going to be a simin for the entire year. If the first blessing we make in the day is Al Netilas Yadayim, there is something very special about that bracha, which carries us through the entire day. Let me elaborate upon that. One of the big popular questions is, why is this book called a Sidur? Sidur Yitzchak Yehor Hashem. Why? Why is it called a Sidur? So we explained last week, it's the arrangement of your life. It represents the arrangement of the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Well, among the top 10 reasons of why it's called a Sidur is based upon the principle of Mea Brachas. Mo Hashem Elokecha Shel Meimach Kiyim Yiroisai. A person has an obligation to recite every day 100 blessings. I recently read online a study about how people are addicted to their smartphones. Totally addicted. And they said, they studied people in society, how many times they check their smartphone. So me, I probably check it 300 times a day. I'm not joking. But in the study that they surveyed the society, they said the average person in society checks their smartphone 100 times a day. And that's an indication in their understanding that man is addicted, obsessed with his toy. Chazal were way ahead of their time. David HaMelech was way ahead of his time. Chazal said, we want you to be addicted to something. Not any substances, not alcohol. We want you to be addicted to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the way you'll get addicted to the Ribbono Shel Olam is to think about him 100 times a day. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shel Meimachim Liyir Al Tikri Ma Ela Mea. So Chazal way ahead of their times to know how to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now that we know you have to daven to Hashem 100 times a day, recognize what are the 100 blessings. So it's fascinating. Every one of the Paiskim has a different calculation to come to the number 100. In fact, most of them do not start in the morning. Many of them start with Ma'ariv, Hamapil, or somewhere in between. They don't start necessarily with the morning. But some do. Just like the Siddur begins with, we discussed this last week, Shachris, the Siddur does not begin with Ma'ariv, does not begin with Amapil. The order of the 100 blessings that we recite to fulfill Chazal's requirement, Mo Hashem, begins with the morning. And that's why it's called a Sidur. It is an arrangement of the 100 blessings that we say every single day to meet, to reach this goal, to reach this number of 100. Now, if that is correct, and that's why it's called a Sidur, and we start with bracha number 1, and we conclude with bracha number 100, the first bracha is obviously very significant. because it's the first of what this whole book is about. It is an arrangement. So the first is Simani Milsa. And what is the first? The first is Netilas Yodayim. And indeed, and indeed, there are many things about this bracha which are very fascinating. First, we have to appreciate, why do we say Netilas Yodayim? There are many reasons. Number one, we slept, and our bodies are no longer clean because of sleep brings upon us a Ruach HaTumah. Spiritual reason, we have no understanding of what this means. There's some sleep is considered to be 1/60th of death. You want to get an appreciation of what that means? Someone told me, someone mentioned to me, Rabbi Reese, what is his first name? He was very close to my father, Zichron Levracha, and he spoke in Chicago at the Aguda Siyam Hashas in Chicago. The Aguda arranged a magnificent Siyam in Chicago for 4,000 people. I have relatives who live in Chicago. They went. It was an awesome Kiddush Hashem. 4,000 people in Chicago was a big deal. And they went down to the hall, and he said there, Reese, he said something very, 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 very fascinating, which just triggered this thought with what we just said. The Siyam Hashas in MetLife, there were about, whatever, 90,000 people, maybe less. Barclays, there was 12,000 people, 80,000 people, 12,000 people. People were watching online all over. There is no doubt there were at least 100,000 people watching, tuning in live to the Siyam Hashas. There's nothing to discuss. Probably a lot more. What is the number 100,000? It is 1/60th of 6 million. Siyam Hashas was dedicated, so it's been since 1973, for the Kedoshim. L'zeich HaNishmas the Kedoshim. In fact, Rabbi Besser, he was like the second in command in the Aguda. If you read his book, he doesn't say this, but if you read between the lines, he basically writes that, you know, the Aguda was under a lot of pressure to do something for the Kedoshim. And after a lot of different things were suggested, a lot of politics, they decided the Daf Yoimi Mikan Ulahaba will be learned L'zecher Nishmas the Kedoshim. At that moment in time, Daf Yomi took off like a rocket. Daf Yomi wasn't very popular before that. When it was dedicated for the Kedoshim, it just, from that moment, off the charts, a straight climb to what we have today. And if you read between the lines of this book, it's almost like he's saying, you know why Daf Yomi is so successful? Because we have 6 million fans in Shemayim that are rooting for us. So the Siyam Hashas, I felt that this Siyam Hashas, the most memorable event was the Kedoshim. If you noticed how quiet it got when they started that segment of the program. So he said, it's 1/60th of the Kedoshim. And that's significant. Because Chazal often describe the significance of 1/60th. There's no bittul when it comes to kashrus. If there's a flavor, it's not kosher. There's no bittul. If you have anything, when you have a 1/60th, it has to be more than a 60th to become bottle. When it comes to many areas of halacha, a 60th is significant. When a person goes to sleep, he brings upon himself death. A sixth sleep is considered to be 1/60th of death. It is a taste of death. And that is why so many elements of the Nusach HaTzvila focus on Techiyas HaMesim, specifically Shachris. Elokai Nishama Shnasatavi. Baudani Lufanecha, Shechzakta bin Nishmasi. Many more examples. A lot of the Nusach focus on death. Nitilas Yodayim is a contamination of death.
What is the word
Nitilas? I'm coming in a second. There are different translations. We'll discuss that in one moment. Excellent. But we have to appreciate that the first thing that we do in the morning, the first bracha, is to remove ourselves from death. Life. When a person goes to the cemetery, it's tamei meis, avi avisa tuma. It is the most severe form of tuma. There's no weary, there's no other, there are many types of tuma. There's tumas nida, tumas zav, tumas balkeri, there's tumas shirotzim, tumas nevela. They're all nafa tuma. Every single one that I mention is nafa tuma. But the only place where you find the principle of avi avois atuma, is death, is a mace. This is in the league by itself. When a person sleeps, he comes in contact with that extreme form of tumah, and he needs to cleanse himself. And thus he makes a bracha. He washes hands to remove that contamination. And he makes a bracha. Asher kiddushan b'mitzvah tzvah al netilas yodayim. It is a bracha of life. The first of the mea brachas is a bracha of life. Because you're making this bracha upon doing something which removes you from death and brings you into the purpose of this world to live. Life. So just like there's such significance in Modani, oh, Shechazar to be Nishmasi. You gave me back my neshama. We mentioned last week, there's no shame Hashem in Modani because your hands are not yet clean. Now, when you make the first bracha of the sidur, of the arrangement, 100 brachas, you're making basically the bracha of Moda'ani. The bracha of Netilas Yodayim is the bracha of Moda'ani. Because you are releasing the contamination of death from your body, and you make a bracha. It's not the same type of washing before you eat food. When a person eats bread, the reason why you make a bracha is because it's very likely your hands touch something that's not clean. You touch part of your body that's dirty. So do your hands become tameh? Do they become contaminated? Maybe yes, maybe no. It's a different type of contamination if there is a contamination. Is it just because it's just not clean, it's bacteria? Before you daven mincha and ma'ariv, the halacha is you're obligated to wash your hands. But do you make a bracha? The Gra made a bracha. The Gra made a bracha, but we don't. Why not? Because the cleansing that you're doing at these times of the day is not the same league as the cleansing that you're doing when you wake up in the morning. Wake up in the morning, you're coming, you are... It's a Tchiyas HaMeisim, and it's a bracha of life, and you have to shake off the contamination of the cemetery. Okay, we don't go to full mikvah, but we make this bracha, and it's in essence the bracha of the Moda'ani. Okay, number two, your question, what does it mean?
The same nusach when you wash your bread as when you wash
your bread. In a chenami, but that's I don't know, it's not difficult because I am panim l'torah. Chazal are not going to go make it. They're not in the business of making things super duper complicated. They give us brachos, psukim, which have multiple functions, multiple uses, many layers of interpretation, and each item has to be understood in its context of how of when it's being used. Now your question was, what is the meaning of the word netila? So the simplest answer of them all is anatala. Anatla is an Aramaic word for a utensil. Okay, natla, nun tes lamed aleph. It's an Aramaic word, natla, which means a utensil. So we make the bracha asher kiddushan b'mitzvah al on netilas yodayim. In the context, it means we translate it loosely on rinsing the hands. cleanse the hands, to rinse the hands, maybe to raise the hands. But it's a very bizarre word. And the reason why this word has been used and modified and manipulated is because Chazal say they want to politely remind you to do Netilas Yadayim, you need a utensil. Don't just put your hands in a pit. It's not the way to wash your hands. The way to wash your hands is with a regular full utensil which has its own complex set of rules. So the word Netilas Yadayim is a polite reminder. You need a Natla. A Natla is a utensil. Netila also means to lift up. We also like to translate it as to lift up your hands. Su'u yideichem kodesh u'baruch les Hashem. Why is the first the word Netila means to lift? In ancient times, how did they daven? How did they daven? They daven by raising their hands. Today we don't do this. Why not? Because it's been adopted by the Goyim. The Goyim, when they daven, they raise their hands. So Chazal said, do not imitate the Goyim. Do not raise your hands when daven. Yes?
So, question came from everyone. So why are the Kohanim, when they wash for Dochanim, which they are raising their hands, say Anu Tilas Yadayim?
Let's see the answer we said before. Chazal very often created a concept and they gave it multiple uses. Because if to go make separate blessings for every single circumstance would make things way too complicated. The word Netilas Yadayim is used when you eat, wash your bread, when you wake up in the morning. There's multiple usages. And there's one bracha. And the bracha, in fact, was crafted in a way which allows itself to be interpreted and understood in all the various contexts. But here, we're using this bracha in the beginning of davening. In this context, we have to appreciate what it means here. Here it means simply you wash it with instead of you're removing the contamination. Yeah. Either your hands are, there are many multiple conditions, your hands are dirty in the middle of the night, your hands touch part of your body. This principle of sleep is considered 1/60th of death. Netila also means to raise up. And this is the hachdama. In other words, it's a bracha on davening. Many ask the question, why don't we make a bracha on Birchas HaMazon? There's a mitzvah that I saw to recite Birchas HaMazon. So before we recite Birchas HaMazon, we should make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem kei b'chol masher b'shem b'tzvanu al Birchas HaMazon. Baruch atah Hashem. And then again Birchas HaMazon. Why don't we do that? So a lot of answers. You don't make a bracha for a bracha. Okay, there are many answers. Why don't we make a bracha on davening? Why not? It is a mitzvah to daven. Is it a mitzvah to Rabbanon? Is it a deraisa? Achleikis, Rambam, Ramban, Beit Sara. It's a whole big shmooze. But l'chol hadeiris, there is a mitzvah to pray. So where is the bracha? Before we daven, to daven.
There's a bracha before Kriya Shema. That's
different. We do, we have two brachas before Kriya Shema. Who says the bracha has to be Kiddushan of the Mitzvah itself? We have two brachas. Yoitzer or... Okay, it's a discussion, but generally when you do a mitzvah, you make a bracha. How come we don't make a bracha on Birchas HaMazon? How come we don't make a bracha on Tefillah? There are a lot of answers. But in essence, this bracha is the bracha for davening. When you make the bracha, the first blessing you make in the morning, in Shacharis, the first time Hashem's name comes out of your mouth, in the context of Baruch Atah Hashem, is the bracha of Netilas Yadayim. Why? What does Netila mean? To lift up. Su'u yideichem kodesh u'baruchu es Hashem. The Kohanim, v'yisa aron es kapa v'yivarich. The whole essence of prayer in ancient times, Moshe, v'kasha yodim Moshe yodoy, v'kof har Yisrael. What was Moshe doing for Klal Yisrael? He was praying for them. It's clear as day that the surah of prayer is with raising your hands. So, why don't we raise our hands when we daven? Chazal asked the question, and they say, we should, because the goyim have taken hold of this, and whatever the reasons are, we don't want to be like the goyim anymore. Why, but who came, they stole it from us? All right, it's a kasha. We don't want to be like the goyim, but what is the true form of prayer? Raising your hands. The first thing you do when you daven in the siddur is you make a bracha. I'm now going to daven. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedoshanu B'mitzvot Tzivanu. He gave me a commandment to do what? Al Netilas Yodayim. To lift up my hands. To pray. This is the bracha to daven. It's a bracha of life. And it's a bracha to daven. Another quick idea. Why is this bracha before Asher Yotzar? Asher Yotzar is a bracha reflecting that Hashem created man. And after Hashem creates man, we get to work. We then go and we lift up our hands, we clean our hands, and we produce. According to the Seder HaBeria, Asher Yotzar should come first. A lot of answers. A lot of answers. For now, let's just one machshava. Who says that we make this bracha, Netilas Yadayim, is referring to our hands? The fact that this bracha is grouped together with Asher Yotzar, in each location, a bracha has to be understood in its context. When you eat bread, you make a bracha, Netilas Yadayim. When you do other mitzvahs, you make a bracha, Netilas Yadayim. But when the bracha is set specifically before Asher Yotzar, it allows itself to be understood that the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't just create man. Before the Ribbono Shel Olam came to a point, Asher Yotzar es Adam, the Chochma uvarava nikovim nikovim. It wasn't just done, you know, thoughtless. There was a plan. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedoshanu B'Tzivanu, Al Netilas Yodayim. We are lifting up our hands to imitate you. The bracha, the fact that it's before Asher Yotzar, it's a reflection, is an acknowledgement that before Kadosh Baruch Hu created man, he could have just created man in 1 second, Hashem prepared himself to create man. Hashem went through the effort to show Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem Chaviva Yisera Shemay Daslai. Adam is Chaviv by the Ribbono Shel Olam. He didn't just do it without thinking. He went through the efforts to first prepare his hands for the act of Yitzira. The average person, you read the bracha Shayatanu, Hashem decided, oh, it's time to create the world. Okay, man has to exist. Poof, man is created. That sends a message that man is just an afterthought. Man is no afterthought. Man was done, created with the ultimate kavana. And the way the Ribbono Shel Olam showed the kavana, he lifted up his hands, prepared his hands. Now, let me create man. And we, every morning, reflect upon that. We first thing that tells us for Asher Yotzar, to understand how important we really are. So that when we go through the day, we shouldn't just, what's life about anyway? There's value. There's importance. I apologize for my voice. It's hard, and hopefully we'll try to make it up next time. That's your question.